kill, 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 kill shuffle.
Kill, kill, kill,
kill, kill, kill,
kill shuffle.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Kill Shuffle.
Hello.
This is a new podcast featuring myself, Donal.
You're waving at the camera, which doesn't exist.
Hey everybody at home.
Hi Dylan across the couch.
Yeah, this is Dylan across the couch. And I guess we are just going to talk about albums.
Yeah.
Albums with a start, a middle and an end.
Yes, old and new.
Old and new.
And in between.
We don't really hate Shuffle.
No.
But we don't want to kill Shuffle.
No. We're obliged to listen to Shuffle on a daily basis, whether we like it or not.
But at the same time, we also really appreciate the journey that you go on when you listen to an album.
Yeah.
And even though it takes a little bit more time,
it takes dedication.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think you can get more out of listening to an album than necessarily listening to like individual songs shuffled up, which is why we're going to be looking at, say, one or two newish releases that we want to highlight every week, and then taking a theme for a couple of retrospective albums, one or two every week as well. So we might be doing countries or years.
Yeah.
Or anniversary albums, like we're doing this week.
Yeah, certain genres that you may not want to ever hear or hear.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. And like genre-wise, we're going to try and cover as much as we're able to. I guess myself and Dylan would both be coming from a more rock background.
Yes.
But at the same time, we both like pretty diverse genres. And
we need other things.
We do. And there's this crossover, but there's also areas in the Venn diagram that are separate.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to hearing all the cool new music that you know that I don't, and hopefully vice versa.
Yeah.
Sweet. So this week, to get things started, we're going to be looking at four albums, which is a lot to tackle.
Yeah, I think we can do it. I think we can do it.
The first is a little bit of a hot potato. It's Humans by Gorillaz. And
7 years in the making.
Is it seven?
7 years.
Really?
Yes. Plastic Beach was 2010.
Jesus, I was like just thinking about that on the walk, and the funny thing about the walk over here was it was a lot longer than expected, because I presumed this was happening at Dylan's house, and Dylan presumed this was happening at my house. So at the same time, we both left our respective houses, walked different ways, and ended up at the other's house without the other person.
I couldn't really give a shit about it anyway. I was like, I'm not going to get angry about this.
No, this is not going to ruin our first episode.
I have to give a shit about more important things.
Exactly, but on the way, on the third leg of that walk, I was thinking about when the last Gorillaz album was, which was
Demon Gorillaz Days,
which I loved. I knew that was that old, but I thought Plastic Beach was like 2013. So to hear that it's actually 2010 and 7 years old is insane.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah,
fun discussion.
They do take like first album. Yeah, five years space between each album, I think.
Yeah, they take their time. So after Gorillaz, we're going to talk about While She Sleeps, who we are going to see in concert later on.
In a few hours.
Yes, so we might report back about that next week. The second to last album and the last sort of recent album is Vekovi.
Yeah, cool. Lovely Scottish band.
Nice young band from Scotland.
Yeah.
And then finally, basically under the pretense of, oh, it's been out for 20 years, but really just because we really fucking love this album, it's Fantastic Planet by Failure.
Yeah, and it's the anniversary.
It is.
Yep.
It is. So I guess, without any further ado, we'll kick off with Humans.
And Gorillaz.
Yes, exactly. Yes. They love their Zeds.
They really love their Zeds in this album, whether it needs to be or not.
So Dylan, what's your previous relationship with the band Gorillaz?
I adore them a little too much.
Okay.
Which is the issue about this album.
Okay.
And the fact that you can occasionally hear Auburn in the background.
Yeah.
Almost as if it was a mumblecore effort by him.
So you were... What would be your favourite Gorillaz album then from the back catalogue?
I really like the first. Even though Demon Days is like... Yes, it goes without saying Demon Days is incredible from start to finish. But like... the first album has a lot of really good songs.
That's... Yeah. I mean, I know the singles from the first album, but I wouldn't know all of the album tracks.
Yeah, like 19-2000.
That's a great song.
Yeah, that's very memorable stuff.
And Clint Eastwood is one of the great songs. Yes.
Very unique stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This album is 26 songs long.
You can.
It's 26 songs long.
Is it that long?
Yes.
Because I have to say, I was listening to the standard edition. I wasn't diving into the bonus tracks. I know there was, I think, there were like maybe five or six tracks on the deluxe edition that I don't like to think of deluxe edition tracks as part of the album. Like, they're a great bonus. Once I know an album, I'll go back and listen to bonus tracks. But for this one, I was hitting stop after something like "We Have the Power," which is, I think, the last song on the standard edition.
Yeah. So,
Were you listening full through all the way?
Oh, that's funny, because I started to like the album just after that a lot.
Okay, well, I guess I'll go back and listen to the bonus tracks during the week. But you loved the Gorillaz in a previous life. How did you feel about Humans?
You know, I shouldn't just start liking a Gorillaz album 10 songs in. I shouldn't have to wait that long to get to something I sort of enjoy that harkens back. Not that it needs to harken back to old Gorillaz at all.
Yeah.
Plastic Beach was fine, and it did this kind of thing as well. And it's not the different realm of techno weirdness that they do in this album.
Okay.
Whole neon technicolor thing.
Yeah.
Because that was in Plastic Beach, and that was in Demon Days. There was a lot of like weird edits and stuff.
For sure.
But
I think Demon Days was their most sort of hip hop album.
Yeah.
Like, Demon Days was definitely a hip hop album with some electronic elements. Whereas, you know, Plastic Beach was more of a tripped out kind of electro with elements of hip hop in it.
But I'm so sorry about Alburn in this album.
Like, really?
You know, the founder of Gorillaz.
Yeah.
Along with them.
Well, the mastermind behind Gorillaz, really.
And of course,
Damon Albarn of Blur.
And of course, the artist that did Tank Girl and stuff followed them all the way through.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I love the aspect of it.
Yeah.
Now, but you know, this album is as if like you got like every musician friend you ever wanted to be in an album.
Yeah.
You all got in a clown car. drove off to a tropical beach and Albarn was just trying to like mumble some lyrics underneath everybody. That's what this album is.
just to put it in perspective, I think this album has 14 special guests, and that's just on the standard edition.
Yeah.
So there's every track but one, which is on the second half, called Busted in Blue, which doesn't have any featured artists. Every other track has a featured artist.
Yeah.
That doesn't bother me, to be honest with you. Actually, I can, because I think Gorillaz
didn't bother me the other album.
Certainly in the last 7 years, with Demon Days too, but more so with Plastic Beach. I mean, Gorillaz is Albarn's opportunity to bring in artists that he admires to work on tracks with him.
Yeah.
And I think that most of the featured guests on this album were really great artists, and a lot of them I hadn't heard
of. Some of them were reoccurring. De La Soul.
Yeah,
from Feel Good Inc.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. De La Soul is fantastic. And I think there's one other returning artist, although perhaps I recognize Grace Jones. She's kind of been around forever.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that they've worked together before, but I think a lot of them were good. I think a lot of them were good calls. I disagree with you.
You know what I totally
car.
Disagree with? The clown car? Can you just hear Albarn? Like, it takes a lot to hear Albarn underneath all that stuff.
But I don't know, Gorillaz is always about the I feel like the music and the feel more so than Albarn's voice specifically.
I think that was a huge part in it.
Yeah. I do think I think what they nail on this album is that sort of dreamy, tripped out synth feel.
They do, but if like song three, I think the song three, it sounded like a cat was walking across a Casio keyboard. There's a little intro like that. And
I think that might be Strobe Light. The second like song proper. I actually really enjoy the synth. I like a lot of the synths on this album because they feel really kind of earthy and analog.
Yeah.
And really bassy. There's like a really ominous feel to a lot of the album.
Would you call this a very consistent album though? Because it's pretty messy.
The funny thing is,
where is that float?
I feel like we're coming at this from totally different angles, because how I feel about this album is, it's the most, even though it's not my favorite Gorillaz album, I think it's might be the most cohesive Gorillaz album, because with all the interludes and the fact that there's not as much genre diversity among the tracks, like there are songs that stand out. There's one song that sounds like I think it's towards the end, which sounds like kind of a happy hardcore techno mess, basically. I think it's called not Andromeda. Oh, what's the song?
Andromeda's good.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly which.
That's a good balance of Albarn and and special guest.
Moments. It's the De La Soul track, actually. That one, to me, is a mess. It's got this...
For De La Soul, you know, the guy who was on Feel Good Inc.
Yeah. Yeah, that one, that was disappointing to me. And I think there's a couple of tracks towards the second half that don't bring anything new to the table.
Most fans hype towards Gorillaz albums, center around, De La Soul cameo.
I think he's wasted, to be honest with you.
Superfast Jellyfish in the other album. It's great.
On Plastic Beach. Superfast Jellyfish is great.
Fun, playful, like a De La Soul song should be.
Yeah.
Not just kind of a bombarding kind of tinny mess of 90s rave, I guess.
Yeah, although there's another hilarious and very strange moment, especially if you're from Ireland, is in the track Saturn Bars, which features an artist I've never heard of him called Pop Kane, but he's not, he's definitely from the Caribbean or something, but one of the tracks, one of the lyrics is, he says "all my life," it's one of the main sort of refrains of the song, and it sounds like he's from North of it. It's like "all my life."
There was a lot of moments that sounded like you've listened to Rubber Bandits recently, haven't you?
Yeah.
I don't want Gorillaz to sound like Rubber Bandits. That's Rubber Bandits' tongue-in-cheek effort, and they're taking the piss.
There's little comedy skits on the album.
Yeah,
but that one moment really reminded me of the inappropriate laughter when I went to see District 9 in the cinema, because the South African accent, the really strong South African accent that the main character had, suddenly turned really North Dublin when he said the word "fuck." So he'd be like, "these fucking prawns, man."
We can relate.
Fucking. And everybody in the cinema was laughing at very serious moments of the film, because when you hear a North Dublin accent when you shouldn't, like on this track, it makes you laugh. Yeah. But no, there are legitimate comedy skits also on this album. They're kind of interludes, like 30-second interludes between tracks.
Yeah, I don't know, what are your real stinkers in this album? How did he put this in there?
Yeah, so that's on Moments with De La Soul, I think it is ridiculous with the really heavy techno beat. I don't think it fits with the rest of the album at all. I didn't enjoy that. There's one called Charger, with the song featuring Grace Jones, which just has
the bass.
It's just sort of a one note guitar lick.
Yeah.
That just pummels you throughout the song, and it doesn't go anywhere.
A lot of songs that sound nice but go nowhere. The kind of drone and gave me that kind of neon mumblecore feel, which
I
know Aldrin is a lot more expressive than that.
I don't know if I agree with you about mumblecore. I think I do think that what the artists bring, what the guests bring to a large extent, is a message to the album.
The friends with a Z.
Yeah, friends. The other humans on the album.
Yeah.
Because the message of a lot of the tracks, especially the opener and one towards the end called "Let Me Out," is very racially charged, I guess.
Yeah, there's a lot.
The lyrics really reflect what's going on in 2017, and I wouldn't have thought of Gorillaz as a very political band in the past.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, rap nearly always reflects the world in which it's being written, so there have been nods to what's going on, but I feel like this is really, it's really politically charged and really current.
Yeah, there's Nia White special guest to be found in this album, I will say.
No, I don't think so. Which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But then you do kind of almost feel like Auburn is just trying to be part of the cool gang sometimes.
A little bit.
You know, when there's maybe two, or sometimes I think there's one track that has three special guests, and then and they're talking about Black Lives Matter, they're talking about police brutality, and then Damon Albarn kind of just drifts in with his ethereal voice.
Songs actually did The Apprentice.
The Apprentice.
It's later on in the album.
That is probably not one that I've heard, because that's not on the standard.
It seems
like they've relegated. Yeah,
The Apprentice, Out of Body.
Yeah,
and that's where it kind of filters out, and it's like,
that's funny. Oh, no. So you had a different experience to me. You almost got more out of the bonus tracks than the album proper. How do you feel about the first track? It's very
Ascension?
It's very heavy. It when you first hear it, it almost jars, but I've really gotten used to it. It's got a great guest appearance by someone called Vince Staples.
Yeah.
And it's kind of got this dreamy but heavy sound to it, with a gospel choir in the background.
Once again, it takes so long to get good, and then it stops.
Yeah.
Like, the last minute is like, okay, you got Auburn and him doing it all at once, and then you got cool little synthy things, and then it just kind of Next song, or next radio thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Next interlude.
Which I don't mind them.
Cool.
But, you know.
All right. And then I suppose last thing on this album, because I think we definitely got different experiences out of it, which is cool. Because, like, Hand on Heart, I actually really enjoy this album for all of its flaws. But can we...
I don't hate it as much as many things that have come up this week. Fall Out Boy, his new song, for example.
Well,
reminded me of this conversation. But different kettle of fish.
Definitely. I hear where you're coming from. I wasn't really super keen on Paramore's new song either. But
I actually was.
and I actually kind of like the Fall Out Boy song, so let's not go there. But how do you feel about Hallelujah Money?
Pete went stuck in a tumble dryer.
Yeah.
Hallelujah Money?
Because to me that
good message,
yeah,
bad song.
Okay, bad, yeah, good. Yeah. I'm glad that we can agree, because I really truly despise that song. I think it's terrible.
Yeah. And that was like, that was the first thing to come out of this whole album.
It was
before anything.
Yeah, that's why I was so surprised that I actually I generally enjoyed the vibe of the album, which is very much dream synth, like. And that's different from what Gorillaz have done in the past, but it happens to be a thing that I like.
I've heard a lot better dream synth.
Perhaps.
Like, in a world of Grimes and stuff, like, it's better.
Yeah. And maybe it's the only reason I enjoyed it as much as I did, because I'm not so... Even though I like it, I don't actively go out and seek that stuff. I just enjoy it when I hear it. So when I hear it on a Gorillaz album, I respond positively. But Hallelujah Money, I just think it's a really... Yeah. It's a stinker.
It is.
Your man, the guest vocalist, he really doesn't do it for me. What's his name? Benjamin Clement. Yeah, yes.
I'm sure he's great in his own
world. I'm sure his own music is fine, but he's so
like,
far
like
up
all
the mix.
These artists are probably better in their own right.
You can't avoid him, and it's a tough listen. But I suppose we'll have to get down to brass tacks. What, if you had to give this album a rating out of 10, what would you give it?
4
right now. 4?
4.
Wow.
4. I'm going out of songs that I enjoyed in the scale. 40% of the album I enjoyed somewhat, and we'll come back to. In fact, some of it's on my Spotify now in regular songs.
Hey, no, I
but they're the bonus songs.
No, I think absolutely 40/10. I'd give it a 7.
Okay,
and that was Humans by Gorillaz.
It's your monkey now.
I say go listen to it, Dylan. Is less enthusiastic, but do check out do check out the singles. Okay, so then the next thing. We're now for something completely different.
Yeah,
let's talk about While She Sleeps.
Yes, let's make a mess all over this.
Yeah, so I guess maybe I'll start with While She Sleeps, because I feel like I've been on the While She Sleeps type train for a little bit longer.
Yeah,
I first heard While She Sleeps when they only had an EP out back in, I think it was 2011, called The North Stands for Nothing, which contained songs that would later end up on their first album, This Is the Six, which came out in 2012. And I know it's been a long time at this point. And I can't remember exactly how I found them, but I'm pretty sure the reason I stumbled into them was because they would often pop up in the same conversations as Architects.
Mm-hmm.
Who, if you don't know, I mean, we're definitely talking about metal right now. This is like
this is metal hour.
It's like modern UK metal. That's what While She Sleeps are. That's what Architects are. But, tinged with a little bit of technical, I would say technical genty kind of.
Yeah, like they're
influence.
They're trying to spread the liking of metal out there a bit. Farther,
yes,
it's gotten the charts, for example, this album.
Yeah, it did, number 8 in the UK charts, exactly. So the reason why I gravitated towards them was because they've always had a more of a sense of melody than Architects. Like, I love Architects, but especially, and to be honest, they haven't compromised on it very much over the last couple albums, but
this is the first one of theirs that got me.
Architects,
I like the other a bit, but this one got me.
So they've always been super heavy. The reason why I gravitated towards While She Sleeps was it was similar, like, sonic palette to Architects, but with way more melody. Like, even from the get-go, they had really melodic riffs, super melodic, like, guitar sections, and the vocals were very brutal, but they would almost always have a chorus somewhere in the song that you could sort of hook your brain to.
That's three singers for you.
Yeah, well, they didn't always have three singers. Laz did most of the vocal work on the first album, and then I know they came back in after a very long break. In 2015 with an album called Brainwashed.
Yeah.
Which I feel like you've dug into that album a bit deeper than I have at this point.
Yeah,
you've dug in pretty deep into Brainwashed.
Yeah, it's nice. It doesn't stop to let up. Yeah. It's great. I love it.
This
album goes for that as well.
Yeah, different. So that brings us to You Are We, which was a crowdfunded album that just came out like in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Crowdfunded, wow.
Yeah. They even built the studio themselves. They built the studio that they recorded the album in by hand.
Yeah. So they've done a lot of things by hand. They did the music video one of the music videos for Silent Speaks. They did that all by hand. They all came in, the band members, and disassembled, and the whole video is a one shot take of them going through different places.
Yeah.
And the director was like really proud of them that they had the gall to do that.
Yeah, it's very impressive.
They're definitely one of the best bands to recede to independent status and flourish more than they have in any regard to anything else.
Sure, because it could have gone either way for While She Sleeps coming into this album, because they had been away for so long, because the vocalist was having like vocal cord trouble, I think, and they had been away for so long in the release to coming up to the release of their second album, Brainwash. And then when Brainwash didn't really do the business for them, I think it was on a label, and it didn't really sell as well as it should have or could have if it came a bit hotter off the heels of the first album, which did really well. Yeah. That this album had to be crowdfunded and this album had to do well for them.
Yeah,
And they needed to trust that the people that missed them missed them enough to put their hand in their pocket, and they did.
We will write songs about you.
Yes.
And they did.
And I think Silent Speaks is like maybe a good place to start in terms of it being the main single.
Yes.
And a real hook for new fans, because Ollie Sykes from Bring Me the Horizon is a guest.
Yeah,
is a guest vocalist.
He comes back with roaring vocals after he had some vocal problems.
He did, exactly. It's just a really nice jumping off point for the album. Like, if you're not really sure that you sort of dig metal, or if you don't know if you think this might be too heavy for you or not, I think Silent Speaks is a really good place to start, because if you get turned off in the first 10 seconds of this song, maybe this album isn't for you. But if you hear it,
that's the thing, you need to listen to it all, because you might like bits a lot.
Yeah,
like there are some things I've heard non-metalheads love in this album. Like,
No, for sure. Absolutely. But I think Silent Speaks is a good jumping off point. But just start it and hit play, because there's the craft that's gone into this album is absolutely amazing.
Yeah. So many subtle bits and bobs.
Yes.
Like, they mastered clean instrumentalization as well as they do distorted.
Exactly.
Both are handled very well. There's an incredible balance between the two.
Yeah, there's a few songs that have just absolutely gorgeous quiet sections, like you said. There's a song called, I think it's Wide Awake.
Yes.
Has a really lovely sort of 30-second clean guitar section just leading into the final chorus. And While She Sleeps are a fantastic band for light and shadow.
Yeah.
And the quiet lead dynamic that some metal bands, you can kind of go in and it's just it's like a full frontal assault for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
With While She Sleeps, they know when to sprinkle in melody, they know when to sprinkle in sort of
they understand now that their genre doesn't need to have a roaring vocalist at all times.
Yeah.
Which is what was the issue with metalcore that they came out of.
Yeah.
That there was no room for the melody.
Right, and I think when metalcore, which when we talk about metalcore, I suppose we kind of mean like the Killswitch Engages of the world and those types of bands.
Old Killswitch, not middle of the road Killswitch.
Yeah, there's some really crap new bands that do that as well.
Yes, too many.
Far too many. It's become very bland. And I think what makes it so bland oftentimes is that when there is a balance between clean singing and more harsh singing, is that the clean singing is really super squeaky clean and auto-tuned and just airbrushed to death. And then the gruff singing is just cookie cutter, cookie monster. That's fine. But what you get with While She Sleeps is you get like a nice bit of grit in the clean singing as well.
It all feels natural. Very natural.
Yeah.
Painful.
Yes,
almost like the
lines are blurred between the different vocal styles and the different vocalists to the point where it's all one really adaptive vocal style rather than like two really distinct vocal styles.
Like they work like the last time I've heard bands that are this kind of like white and black with their vocal qualities are like the likes of Alice in Chains.
Yeah,
with Lane. Like just great balance. Just an amazing balance that not a lot of bands can do these days.
No, it's really good. I think they've also got a few more influences on board this album than they would have had before.
Yeah.
Before, I mean, you can always hear the influence of, you know, tech metal, like Meshuggah, for example.
Yeah.
Mixed with old school metalcore, like, you know, old Killswitch. But I feel like on this album, you're hearing more of the modern melodic death as well. Yeah. Like there's a song called Feel, which comes, I think it's the third track.
Yeah.
which just has like this amazing soil work style.
Yes.
Which is like, if you want a reference, is like blues with the distortion yes. pedal just cranked up yeah. to 2000.
A lot of cool industrial little bits as well.
Industrial also, yeah.
Just great kind of dynamic range.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah, and just incredible anthemic choruses also.
Yeah.
Like, they always knew how to write a chorus, but yeah. on this...
Like, how do you choose a single?
how do you choose a single?
How on earth?
Nearly every single song
they've
has
admitted
a
it as well, like... Mm. I think in an interview I heard, like, what's your favourite song? And they're like,
yeah.
Oh, 57 minutes and it's the whole thing.
Exactly.
Like, and I agree, like, it's all the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's why I hope that this is the album that propels them into the stratosphere, because I don't think you could sit down and play Brainwashed or This Is the Six to just anyone.
No.
And for them to get it at the first listen.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like with You Are We, no matter who you are, you could something you can hold on to in every one of those songs.
Yeah.
Especially Silent Speaks, because that kind of falsetto... that falsetto vocal yeah. in the chorus is just so catchy. It's
like,
undeniable.
It's not just a good metal chorus. It's a good chorus.
It's a good chorus.
People who like music
yeah.
with power
yeah.
and heart
yeah.
will like this.
Exactly.
Like, I'm sure.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, like, it really doesn't matter if you're into, you know, old school classic rock or just, like, you know, good singer-songwriter stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it all shares a common heritage.
Yeah.
And these guys are clearly people who don't just listen to one type of music. They listen to loads of different types of music. Because you can hear that in every song. Like, they just play
yeah.
games with genres, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, they like their own music, and they've started incorporating it. They're not just for yeah. the genre now.
No.
They're past that now.
No. And yeah, and I suppose on the question of picking a single, I mean, there are a few songs that you can definitely tell were more single material than others. I think Hurricane is one.
Yeah, that came out like a year before.
Yeah, it came out a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I think Hurricane has a very radio-ready feel to it, without compromising yeah. on what they're known for,
yeah.
which is which is just super in-your-face heaviness.
Yeah, it might be... It might be my favorite.
It's really good.
It might yes. be my
and
favorite.
And Civil Isolation, which was another single, is also a highlight on the album.
Yeah.
But then part of it is also that we would have already been used to those singles, having sort of had them in our
yeah.
Spotify playlist for months as opposed to weeks.
But I'm still finding new things, new bits.
Yeah.
I don't get tired of this one at all.
Yeah. I think the opening track, the title track, is absolutely amazing. And that's got a great chorus.
Subtitled. Great message. Great title.
Yeah.
Like, it's all about, like, sticking up for yourself, like without
yeah.
getting past all the cliches, it's a very beautiful.
Well, yeah, and I think it's a sort of a tribute to all those people that came together and told While She Sleeps, we haven't forgotten about you.
No.
So what they're saying there is, like, the title of the album, You Are We, means like everything that we've done is because of you.
Yeah.
And again, whopper chorus. So you don't need to wait more than like a minute into the album to find a chorus that's going to be stuck in your head for weeks.
No, if you're a patient musician, you don't need to worry about this. It's going to get you right off the bat.
Although I have to say, I find the image, because the chorus that song is, it's like raking dead leaves in the wind.
Yeah.
Which, to my mind, I'm just imagining people like running around grabbing leaves and just desperately trying to rake them, maybe while Sideshow Bob steps in so just in a circle of rakes. So I do chuckle a little bit at that every time, but no, it's a really, I don't know, for my money anyway, I just think it's a really, really solid album. And
yeah.
it's a real sort of point proven that you can have a long lead up into an album, and you can have a lot of singles, and still an album can feel cohesive.
Yeah.
And that's something we're probably going to talk about a little bit later with Bukowski.
Yes, definitely.
So what would be your final, any final thoughts on You Are We by While She Sleeps?
I just need more. I need more.
You need more music or more time?
More them.
Yeah.
Like this is when they're finally getting into their comfort zone. Like it took 10 years at least before all the albums.
But, oh yeah, of course, because there was a lead up to that first.
They finally
EP.
Found the great blend of everything.
Yeah.
Like all the vocalists are perfect.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. I'm really excited because I hear they're in their prime live also. So
yes.
We're going to see them in Dublin tonight and. Yeah, that is an exciting prospect.
Yeah.
I haven't seen While She Sleeps before. I'm not sure they've really been regulars in Dublin. I think they've played one gig here before.
Or is it the Academy?
Possibly also the Academy, which for context holds about 800 people at capacity.
Yeah.
So it's a small venue.
It's gonna be tight.
Yeah. So what would you give You Are We out of 10? It's tough.
I'm trying to think, what did I not like about the album?
Mm.
You'd have to pay me to not like something about this album. Honestly, yeah. And even Sten, I wouldn't accept it. I'd be like, no.
Yeah.
This is a 10.
Okay, 10.
This is a fucking 10.
Wow, yeah, no, that's fantastic. It is, I mean...
In its own right, in its own genre, it's an absolute 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just,
which is the standard by which you have to judge.
Yeah. Every album. My favorite song on it... Oh, God, what's my favorite song?
Settle Down Society?
No, it comes a little later. That whole quarter of albums, or quarter of songs, is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Revolt.
Revolt is great, yes.
Revolt is great. Like, the air siren effect with the guitar.
Yeah.
So great.
It is great. You just can't help but bob your head.
More authentically, more like old school metalcore, I think that was.
Yeah.
It felt a little more like that. It felt almost a bit like Bullet from My Valentine in bits.
Yeah.
Mixed with Children of Bodom. Yeah. Like good Children of Bodom.
It's all in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think it's amazing. At the moment, I'd probably give it a 9.
Okay.
But give it time to grow on me.
Yeah, give it a
year. I might get that extra.
Yeah, give it tonight.
That's your point. I'll give it tonight. Once I see it live and I see everything in context,
yeah,
I might even get that extra point. But it is one of the best albums of the year so far. So that's really good. Good positive response to that album. Okay, moving on. This next album, like we were saying, is from a teeny tiny mini fit 'em in your pocket Scottish band called Vekovi.
Yeah.
How did we discover them mutually exclusively, or did
you've
I introduce
known you? You'd known them for a bit.
Did I introduce you to them?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
You did.
With
some of the singles from this album, it's been a long time coming.
It has been a very long time coming. So I think Vekovi popped up on my Spotify Discover Weekly, like I want to say 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I've been following this band for a long time, and for a long time they really had nothing for me to. to sort of hang my hat on, I guess.
Yeah.
Their very first release was in 2011.
Yeah.
Which was a short EP, which, holy Jesus, is like 6 years ago now.
Yeah.
And the first single from this album that we're reviewing today, which is also called Vekovi, came out in 2015.
Yeah.
So I guess 2 years is about right, Bouncy Castle.
They've done a lot of promo work just to get to an album.
They have, which I think reflects the journey of young bands in like in today's climate,
yeah,
because if you don't make a successful first album, yeah, you don't get a chance, yes, to make a successful second
and
album.
And the alt rock scene, or this particular alt rock scene, is pretty saturated at the moment, and has been since Paramore started it all, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair to say. But would you say that the alt rock that saturated the market has been of this quality?
I'd say if this came out when Riot did,
yeah,
Paramore's Riot, they would have blown the water with Paramore.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because this has, I mean, I don't know how you feel about Paramore, but I personally think at least the first, actually, you know, I don't think they've really released a bad album, but the first two and then the last album that came out in 2013 or whatever, I just think are all fantastic.
Yeah,
I think the Ken Andrews
one is great.
Yeah, the Ken Andrews album. I think they are fantastic songwriters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've released some amazing albums. But, and then, I do feel as though this could have been a huge contender back,
absolutely,
in the day, even given the quality and the marketing push behind Paramore. This songwriting on this album is so good that once you show it to someone, it's hard to imagine that they wouldn't enjoy it.
Yeah,
you know,
this is a long enough album, at least from what I remember. It's like,
it's really hard for me to quantify it because I enjoy every single song.
Yeah, it goes by very fast.
It does,
but it's all.
But yeah, but in total, the album runs 40 minutes, which actually, to my ears, is the perfect running time for an album.
Yeah.
Between 35 and 45 minutes, I think once you start getting closer towards the hour mark, you have to really,
yeah,
really be doing something special to hold my attention. I think 40 minutes is the perfect length.
Yeah. What for you? Like, pits us out against everything else in the soundscape?
Because today, first and foremost, this album isn't afraid to be heavy when it wants to be.
Yeah.
We're talking about a totally different genre to While She Sleeps. I mean, Vekovi are very much pop rock, alt rock.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't stuff that you, where you would pick a single and say, wow, like maybe that could get one play on the radio. This is an album that, where every single song could be a huge radio hit.
Yeah, like a lot of the songs rhythmically are very fun.
Yes, like, that's the thing. That's like, exactly it.
It reminds me of like the fun you'd have like switching on the Prodigy at a party.
Yes.
It's the fun you'd have switching on this at a party.
Yeah. This is the kind of album where there's a knife edge balance between music you can mosh to and music you can dance to.
Yeah.
And they have the balance exactly right. Yeah. The guitars are heavy enough so that if you're a rock fan, you can kind of scrunch your face up and bob your head to it, but also the rhythms are so intricate and so well written that you can't help but also kind of move your feet to it. It is really
it's what I look for put together. In a band.
Yes, yeah, they're not afraid to go hard when they need to. They're not afraid to pull back and be vulnerable when they need to be as well.
Janine, I think the singer, she's a lot of heart, a lot of very dark things to say in her vocals, but
it's very
tongue in cheek though, like Weirdo, for example, song about like not being afraid to be strange and kind of
and the chorus is from the perspective of a bully, or someone who's making somebody else feel isolated, and you can really hear the emotion. Actually, that's probably my favorite song on the whole record, Weirdo.
Yeah.
Because the vocal performance on that song, where she's putting herself in the shoes of somebody who's... And the music is fantastic and catchy, but when she's putting herself in the shoes of someone who's a bully or abusive, and the emotion that she puts behind that is so affecting. It's really, really good.
The music video, I'm not sure if you've seen it yet.
I haven't seen it yet, no.
It has a fan singing it.
Oh.
In place, she goes downstairs and the whole band members go upstairs past her, and she basically has to like sing Tribunal against this like court of bullies.
Oh Jesus. Okay.
And they ended up puking multicolors, so it's great. Just laughing at them.
Yep.
It's cool. Great message.
That's the rock music video version of ending a film on a food fight.
Yeah.
That's great. No, it's really, really good. I really love that song, Weirdo. And what I think about this album as well is that it gets the balance right from song to song, but it also gets the balance right as one whole piece of art.
Yeah, like, once again, each song could be very, very much single bait.
Yes.
But they're all so different from each other.
Yeah.
They're very
and they're wonderfully paced. Yes. I actually wrote a review of this album for my personal music review blog, and Vekovi got back to me, because I sort of insinuated that there must have been a lot of time and attention put into the track listing, because I feel as though it never loses your attention for a second, because once there's a quiet moment, it's immediately replaced by a heavy moment, and it holds your attention the whole way through. And they actually replied and said, it's funny, that just felt like the natural order to put the songs in. We didn't even really have to think about it. We kind of knew that was the way it was going to fall, and it does feel that way.
Yeah.
Even though like we were saying with While She Sleeps, where the singles fit in perfectly well into the album.
Yeah.
This is an album that had either three or four, actually I think possibly five, but definitely four songs that came out not in previous recordings, but certainly in previous mixes, years before the release of the album, and yet somehow they fit in perfectly into the running order.
Yeah, and it doesn't take away anything from the album. Like, I'd listened to those songs many, many times.
Yes.
And still got a lot out of this album after those songs.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, yeah. And a band that I think you know is Sun and Flesh.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are a band from New York, and I've met them and I've seen them live a couple of times, and they're not a big band, but they are a great band.
Yeah.
But they ran into the problem of including previously released material on their debut album.
Yeah.
And it does not fit in.
Yeah.
Sonically, it doesn't sound like it was recorded in the same place.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like one flowing piece of work. It feels like a patchwork quilt full of all really good looking but very different patches.
I mean, the old school way of like, hey, here's our CD. It's like, okay, for them, they probably had to just put it somewhere for the fans to listen to, and that happened to be just a debut CD.
That's the thing. Yeah, I think Vekovi have done it slightly differently insofar as they have added in little Easter eggs into the singles.
Yeah.
So, for example, in the chorus of Animal, which I don't want to say is my favorite song on the album, but it's right up there in the top three.
Yeah.
Is the mixer or whoever was producing the album added in this wonderful little it's almost like a record scratch, but on her vocal track into the chorus, which wasn't there before in the single, and yeah. it really gives the chorus way more momentum. Yeah. And that's something that you would really only notice if you'd heard the single before. So whereas with Sun and Flesh case, and I love Sun and Flesh, you should go listen to them, but in the case of their album, they literally plonked the MP3s from their previous releases onto this album and then called it an LP, which it really wasn't.
Yeah.
It was just two EPs that were stitched together in the middle.
Yeah.
And this is not that. This is one album. And it's great.
Yeah, great variety. My favorite song in it is probably I'm Wired.
I'm Wired is
because
great.
That it goes from starting out with what would probably be on like a Def Leppard power ballad kind of album with the clean kind of guitar.
Yeah.
Maybe Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
And then it goes into like a futuristic funk rock heaviness, which is something I haven't heard in a while.
No, I know the one you're talking about. And there's almost a Rage Against the Machine kind of vibe as well in certain parts of that song. And in certain parts of the album, you can tell there's a huge range of influences here.
Yeah.
What would you say this is like Vekovi for fans of?
Vekovi for fans of?
For fans of what? Like who is the target market for this? Who's listening? What are some touchstones that people can approach this album from?
If you like Marmosets,
mm-hmm.
If you like Paramore,
yes.
If you like female fronted vocalists,
yeah.
Or just
that at I all. Think that mid to late noughties. Yeah. Rock sound, like whether it's Fall Out Boy or
Timeless.
Yeah, it is.
At least in this new millennium, it seems timeless.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And also, if you want to hear a high roughage, decent quality version of what's done by bands like Mallory Knox or Yumi at Six or any of those bands that are kind of peddling pretty boring, bland rock.
Yeah.
This
clam rock, I'll call it.
Yeah, clam jam rock. This is like an antidote to all of that because they're almost from the same stable, but they're doing what those guys do so much better with way more originality and way more variety.
Yeah, they're just very natural at doing it, and that's what's going to probably get them going. Albums after this, which I hope.
Yeah,
I hope it doesn't take a while for the next album. But
I really hope, given the fact that this album was so long in the works, that now that it's out, they can kind of get right back into the studio. Once they've toured it a little bit, they can get right back into the studio.
What's your verdict, buddy?
I really like this album.
You've had it for a while, and so have I. It's been a month almost.
I think I almost find it harder to find fault in this album than the While She Sleeps album for what it is, for what it is, which is like a pop rock alt rock like fun album. I have to give it a 9.
Yes,
I have to give it a 9. So that is my score is 9 out of 10.
Yeah, for what it gets, perfect.
Yeah,
9.
Yeah, I want 9. I want to leave them some growing room, but it's genuinely fantastic. So,
yeah.
Vekovi, if you because they're the smallest band that we're reviewing this week, I almost feel like if you're only going to listen to one thing we talk about this week, make it Vekovi.
Yeah.
Okay, and now on to our final order of business.
A retrospective.
Yes. So. Like I said, we arbitrarily picked the theme anniversaries because we just want to talk about this album. We're shoehorning in the theme to fit the album because this album is amazing.
Yeah. This album is criminally unknown.
Criminally unknown, yes. Like,
for people who even love 90s stuff, it's like, you missed this. You missed a spot.
Yeah,
<It's> like,
yeah. Even, you know, I've kind of been slowly trying to introduce my girlfriend to certain bands.
Yeah.
And
Failure
will be one of them. And anytime I put them on, she her kind of ears prick up and she's like, wow, you know, I almost feel like this could be the next Nirvana, you know, the next Nirvana record.
It was like, time came and went.
After In Utero.
It didn't. They're still here.
Yeah, they are. Failure are still with us, thank God.
Yeah.
But I think that's a good way to think about it is if you like how challenging and intense Nirvana is, like Failure is just going to blow you away.
Yeah,
because you know it's not musically there are similarities.
Yeah,
sure, and it depends on what even sometimes in what part of the song you're talking about. You know, you can kind of go, "Wow, that's really influenced by Nirvana." Whereas there's other parts that have like a space opera feel to them. Sometimes
that's what I was saying is like this is like grunge if it was 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Yeah, that's it. This is what I'd imagine Kurt Cobain would write if he lived to see. You know, if he lived to see 31 and he completely went on a massive LSD bender.
Yeah.
Like, this is like Nirvana on an acid trip.
Yeah.
But it's so much more than that as well. But I'm just trying to give people an idea of what they're getting themselves in for when they listen to Fantastic Planet, because it is so many things.
This is more of a heroin trip, which is the thing about this album.
Well, the thing is, we know that it's a heroin trip because these guys were using very regularly when they wrote
this. The album was... the very unfortunate thing about this album, and fortunate for at least 20 years later, was... at least back then, was... They finished the album in 1990, almost 1995, and it took a year and a half for them to get this out.
Wow.
Because of major label messes.
Yeah.
And by the time it came out, most of them were struggling with heroin, and they was like, and then they quit. They had to quit.
They went cold turkey. They did, yeah.
So they only toured it at the time for a bit, and thankfully they're back.
They are,
and they have it. They did a new album in 2015 or 2014. It was really good.
2015. It's a wonderful album. Called the Heart is a Monster.
They didn't miss a beat, and now it's the 20th anniversary tour.
Yeah, and I haven't seen the 20th anniversary tour of this album, but I was lucky enough to see Failure in one of their first shows back when I happened to be in New York in 2014. This was before they even released their new.
Yeah.
Their new comeback album, and it was just amazing to see these songs live, because Failure are the kind of band that you will see your favorite bands talking about. They're your favorite band's favorite band.
Yes.
Because people that love music, and people, especially people that love rock music and the various sort of diverse genres that can be sort of blended together in rock music, love Failure, because it's so many things at once, like, and it does them all perfectly.
Back to Paramore, they love these guys.
Yeah, Paramore love these guys so much that they let Ken Andrews, the singer, produce their last album. Now, not the one that's coming out now, but the self-titled album, which I think everybody can agree was a pretty decent album.
Yeah,
it was challenging for what Paramore's legacy was.
Very much so.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're here for.
But we are here to suck Ken Andrews' dick, so... Yeah.
The very unnoticed legacy is huge. It's there. It's, rarely a musician from that era who you don't ask, do they like him now a lot more than they did back then? It's like, yes, the legacy's grown. So to the extent that, like, probably 60-70% of the audience members in their gigs are our age.
Yeah, it's like what happened with an Irish band who had a similar career trajectory, which was Curb Dog.
Yeah, Curb Dog.
They released their seminal album in 1997, and then pretty much broke up immediately.
Yeah.
On the turn, and it's one of my favorite albums of all time. And when they finally came back to the gigging circuit and did a live album and stuff like that a couple of years ago, they found that there was people who had discovered them in the meantime.
Yeah, this album was definitely appreciated a lot more after the fact, which is a little sad, but happy now at least.
Yeah, because when you put this album on, it really is one to listen to from start to finish. I think because it's 18 tracks, which includes, I think, 4 or 5 different segues.
Yeah.
Every little piece of it fits together perfectly. Yeah.
I could only listen to this in full.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And for my money, and I know you said something absolutely preposterous before we started recording, which was that you feel as though the live album, they've done a live album recording of this, like of the tour they did in 2016, that you feel as though that has a better production value than the album itself.
Almost. Because,
but for my, I mean, this is my favorite production job of all time.
I know it is. And this goes nothing against that at all. It enhances the flavor.
Yeah, yeah.
So save that flavor, because they've learned so much, and they added so many little bits and bobs and nods, and it's not just them playing and it's recorded live. They've been mastering it for a hell of a long while. Ken Andrews has been doing it, so he wants to bring it to that level personally.
I get that, but I think the sheer genius of the production job on the original album cannot be overstated.
Yeah.
I've never heard an album which felt so real. And, you really feel as though these instruments are just like a centimeter away from your ear.
Yeah, like usually most bands record the drums first and then slowly do everything else.
Yeah.
It was meticulous for these guys. They did one song each.
Yes,
one after another, and they made sure like it got like 95% done completely because the thing about writing songs like this Ken Andrews one said that was I'm trying to what did he say Literally, they turned into their different monsters, like, once it got to about 85-95% done with the song. Oh, because
they're all perfectionists.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, he wanted to go through every song because he wanted to make sure they weren't going to change once they got to that part, which most of them did, and they totally shaped the album because he focused on each one separately.
And every song is like a little universe unto itself. Every song is a slightly different production job.
Yeah.
But it's not jarring. It adds to the songs because every song gets the treatment it needs, whether it's a slow one like Dirty Blue Balloons, or it's something really, really heavy and wall of sound like Stuck on You, which is just the quintessential 90s alt rock
album. Or even a balance of both with like Pillowhead.
Yes.
Or Pillowhead. Which is acoustic guitar in the verse and then wall of sound in the chorus.
Yes. Pillowhead is a great example because it needs to pull back for the acoustic guitar to shine because it's got this wonderful acoustic guitar with driving drums that drives forward the verse and then
I'd like to fucking see Nirvana try and pull it off back in the day.
there's a diversity to how they use their instruments on this album that I don't think you hear from very many other bands. And also an ambitiousness to the way that segues and songs merge together.
Yeah.
And there's one run of a song called The Nurse Who Loved Me, which I want played at my wedding. I don't care how that happens.
I don't care the context of the actual song.
Yeah. I don't know what...
fucking a nurse on a carpet.
I don't know what she acts just like a nurse with all the other guys means, but I want it played at my wedding. Into a song called Another Space Song, which... almost has the feel of an ambient electronic track, despite the fact that it's all real instruments. It's just got this swirling, drugged out, amazing feel to it that just glides right by.
This is the kind of album that goes down with like White Pony with stuff I check PAs to.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because this is one album that they gave 110% to on the production side. So...
200%.
Or 200%. So if it doesn't sound good, it's something wrong with your speakers.
Yeah.
Is this album...
There's something wrong with you, man.
This is impeccable. Even if you don't like rock music, just putting this in your ears and experiencing these sounds has to do you good. It does your soul good.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we gave a very good overview of what the actual sound of Failure is, but...
God, it's grunge and more, so much more than so much just grunge. More.
It's grunge, it's space rock, it's just anthemic 90s alternative rock.
Anti-anthems, I'd say.
Anti-anthems, yeah, true.
Songs that, like, could be radio hits, but aren't radio hits.
No, yeah, like, yeah, yeah. It's like discovering your favorite album you never knew you loved.
Yeah.
Except we know we love it now, but just even discovering this album for the first time, I just couldn't believe I'd never even heard of it before. I can't even remember what got me onto Failure. I think it genuinely was an interview with Hayley Williams.
Really?
I think the reason I got into Failure was because Hayley Williams was talking about their influences, and she's just said, we're totally obsessed with this band called Failure, you need to listen to them.
They did a cover of Stuck on You, I think.
Oh,
have you heard that one?
Yeah. I might have heard it a couple of years ago.
They don't sully it too much.
No. But I mean, Fantastic Planet is just one of the all time.
Where have you been if you missed this step in the 90s?
Yeah, exactly.
Like honestly.
Yeah, get on Fantastic Planet. It's a beautiful thing, as Trump would say.
Well, what would you fucking give it? What if you could give it?
I feel like it's disingenuous to start handing out 11s, but this is a 10 out of 10 album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any downsides to this album? Besides, like, the unfortunate history behind it.
Any downsides to Fantastic Planet? I mean...
The fact that there wasn't another Fantastic Planet afterwards, which there was.
That they broke up, yeah.
The Heart is a Monster is the best possible follow-up they could have had 16 years down the line.
Absolutely, I agree. I don't know. It would be like asking me to pick a fault in one of my children. Not that I have children, but if I had children.
Not retroactively, but the other way.
No, I can't. I think Fantastic Planet is flawless. Could you pick a fault with it?
It's absolutely perfect.
Yeah, it is.
I know we're running that perfect mill today on today's episode.
No, but this...
But it's true. No. There's a lot of good music.
We both love While She Sleeps. We both love Bukowie. Fantastic Planet is better than those two albums. I'm sorry. With all due respect to those bands,
yeah,
Fantastic Planet is better than anything those bands will ever write, because Fantastic Planet is special, and it's a moment in time.
And plus, what we do with the show, it's different. It's a lot different.
It's different, yes. So, yeah, so what we're going to try and bring you on this show is a mix, I guess a diverse range of genres within the stuff that we feel confident talking about.
Yeah.
So what we brought you this week is Gorillaz, which I would say is kind of like trip hop, hip hop, pop kind of
stank
mix.
Pop.
And you've got your radio ready alternative rock, yes, metal, and then Fantastic Planet, which I think is a beast unto itself. But if you had to put a label on it, I guess grunge. So maybe we're going to do our best to bring you a mix every week of genres and different things.
Yeah, we're willing to bring you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. But one thing we will never bring you is shuffle.
Okay. Oh, God. Let's scrap that. Let's scrap that ending.
kill it. No, okay. So thank you very much for tuning in. Dylan, you got any parting thoughts?
Give us any advice if you want to hear us talk about stuff. Any recommendations you guys have?
Yep.
Crickets and tumbleweeds passing by.
Yeah, leave us a rating review on iTunes if you can. And we will talk to you same bad time, same bad channel.
Oh, hell yeah.
On Kill Shuffle.
Let's go out and do the bat, you see.
Let's go to While She Sleeps.
Yeah.
Bye.
See you guys.